This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Phillies Today, right here with Francisco Rojas, your place for Phillies 24/7 on Spotify, Apple, either of those, wherever you're listening to this podcast, where we greatly appreciate you. Myself, Justin Morgenstein, Kyle Forsini, Dan Wilson. You know, we give you daily podcasts for the Phillies every day, almost every day, and especially this upcoming season. Be locked in. Be locked in for Phillies Today. So what I have for you on today's show, a lot of good stuff to get into, man. We're getting closer and closer to opening day, getting into the swing of things here with with the Phillies being down in Clearwater, so a lot of good stuff to get to today. And look, been a lot of talk about the lineup, and you know, Rob Thomson alluding to shaking things up this spring. Got to talk about. I want to give you guys what my lineup would look like. And how I think the lineup will look like come opening day, you know, according to the skipper, Rob Thomson. Also, could recent comments from Dave Dombrowski on Philly's top prospect, Aiden Miller, very, very interesting comments that maybe Aiden Miller could be here sooner than we all think. And what does that mean for some other players in the Phillies infield? We'll get to that. And then Nick Castellanos' recent comments. Interesting comments. And I'm not sure how I feel about them, but I want to know from you, the people, what you think about them. I think that's the most important thing, because I need your help on Nick Castellanos' most recent comments, because I am torn. So we will start with the batting order. And it has been a talking point for a few years now. Should Kyle Schwarber lead off? Should he not lead off? It's like one side or the other. Either you love Schwarber leading off, and or not even love. You at least like the fact or love, or you hate it. You're traditional. You want to see guys like Trey Turner, somebody else lead off for this team, you know, with speed. Just, you know, it is somewhat, as someone that I'm 30 years old and, you know, growing up watching the Jose Reyes of the world, the Jimmy Rollins, you know, of the world, guys like that, you know, growing up for me leading off, those were more of your traditional guys, guys that had speed at the top of the lineup. That was more of what you saw. And Kyle Schwarber, not the prototypical guy, but, you know, has been great out of the leadoff spot, has been great. But do the Phillies need to change it up? Maybe Rob Thomson wants to. He has mentioned maybe trying to get some protection behind Harper, with potentially putting Kyle Schwarber behind him And what should the Phillies lineup look like? So I'm going to give you what my lineup will look like. And then I will tell you what I think, how I think the lineup will look come opening day, you know, according to Topper. So I'll be honest to preface this. I don't feel extremely strong about this. Like I am not like, look, I like Schwarber in the leadoff spot. I think it's worked. I think that the problem has been the bats just go cold in the postseason. I don't think it has anything to do with the lineup. It just has things to do with the lineup needs to you know, find a way to score runs come postseason time when it matters the most, with the Arizona series, with the New York series. Like, that is when it matters, and it, I don't think it matters how the lineup looked. I think it was just more about the guys, the big guys in the lineup, the Turners, the Schwarbers, the Bohms, the JTs. Like, those guys need to turn it on come postseason time. But if I had a choice, I am thinking about it more. And maybe Toppers and maybe some other people are swaying me a little bit. This is how my lineup would look. So, batting leadoff, I'm going Trey Turner. Going Trey. Hitting second, Bryce Harper. Third, Alec Bohm. Fourth, cleanup, Kyle Schwarber. Fifth, JT Realmuto. Sixth, Nick Castellanos. Seventh, Max Kepler. Eighth, Brandon Marsh. And hitting last, but not least, ninth, Bryson Stott. So my thinking here is that I like Trey at a leadoff spot. Like, again, Schwarber, Trey, I don't care. Like, whichever you want to do there. But I like Trey at a leadoff spot. You know, he's still quick, can still steal bases. Maybe he'll give you more stolen bases out of that leadoff spot if he's able to, you know, have more at-bats. I like Trey there. I like Bryce, you know, hitting second. Like, second or third doesn't matter to me. But I like Bohm in the thirds, you know, at the thirds, you know, third in the lineup, because Bohm drives and runs. And so I like Bohm right there, third. And a lot of teams, they usually have their best hitter in their lineup hitting second, you know, except for maybe like the Dodgers having Ohtani lead off. But I'm cool with Harper hitting second there and Trey just because of the speed factor, you know, leading off. Cleanup, I like Schwarber just because he's your prototypical cleanup guy, and he's hit so many homers as a Philly over the last 3 years. What is it, 46? What was it, 46? Either way, 40 plus the first 2 years, and then 38 last year. And a lot of them come solo because they're at leadoff. So I like Schwarber fourth, cleanup. Fifth, JT, sixth, Castellanos. I mean, you could alternate there. I just think Castellanos has been a little more inconsistent since he's been a Philly, so I'd rather have JT hitting fifth. You know, I mean, not feeling great after last year with JT, after you know, dealing with the injuries and whatnot, but I think I like JT fifth, Castellanos sixth, and then Kepler, if he's able to, you know, be the hitter he was a couple of years ago, give you 20 plus homers, a good OPS. I like him out of the seven hole. That'd be a really good seven hitter. And then Marsh and Stott, eighth and ninth. I don't think I need to go delve into too much there. So that is my lineup. Once again, I'll rattle through it and then get to how I think the lineup will look like. So I have Turner, Harper, Bohm, Schwarbs, Realmuto, Castellanos, Kepler, Marsh, and Stott. Okay, how I think the lineup will look like come opening day. I don't think it's far off, but there are a few you know, switches that I see here. So Turner leading off, Harper hitting second, so it's the same. Have Schwarber hitting third. That's where I think Schwarber will hit, according to Topper, third. Bohm, cleanup. Castellanos, Realmuto. So Castellanos fifth, JT hitting sixth, Kepler seventh, Marsh eighth, and ninth, Stott. So they're about, really, it's just the middle of the lineup, like three through six, where I think maybe Topper will go different. Difference being, like, I think Schwarber, he mentioned Schwarber hitting behind Harper. I think Harper will hit second. And I think he'd mentioned protecting Harper, I think, you know, with Schwarber. And I think Schwarber right there at third would be how I would see Rob Thompson sliding him in there. Bohm, I just think he likes Bohm there, cleanup, just because, you know, he's been great there. you know, as far as driving and runs go. And I think that's how Rob would see that going. And fifth and sixth, I just think maybe just because they've given Castellano so many chances, given how, you know, inconsistent he has been, I think Castellanos ahead in that lineup, and then sixth JT, which I'm not mad at this lineup either. Like, I'm fine with this lineup. Again, like, I don't feel extremely strong about how the Phillies lineup has looked the last couple of years. I just think it's been about the playoffs, and, you know, but if this helps, if maybe guys are seeing different pitches, maybe this will help. So maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe shaking up the lineup is truly good for the Phillies come postseason time. So I want to know how you see this lineup going. You know, I put my lineup. I'll tweet out my lineups and how I think the lineup will look either later today or at some point this weekend. And I would love to know how you think the lineup will look. How you think the lineup will look and how you want the lineup to look. I want both of those. So those are how I see this lineup faring. So let me know your thoughts. You can tweet me at @Rojas_media_. Okay. All right. So Dave Dombrowski recently talked about Aiden Miller and how good he's been and how much they like him. And his ETA looks like it's probably going to be more towards next year into when he could reach the majors. But Dave Dombrowski recently spoke. I don't know if I have audio here. Well, I don't have audio. I don't know if there is audio. But Dave Dombrowski recently mentioned that he kind of alluded to, you know, how much they like him and how maybe they could see him earlier than expected in 2025. This is according to On Patterson. I believe this was Tim Kelly, right? It's usually Tim Kelly that's writing these. Yeah, Tim Kelly from On Patterson. And always does a great job. And question from this article was, given how quickly Aiden Miller has ascended through the minors thus far, is it possible that Miller could reach the majors in 2025? And Dombrowski said, I mean, I guess that would surprise me a little bit, but he's not putting this on him. He remembers sitting next to Al Kaline, the Tigers legend and baseball legend, and Kaline used to tell Dombrowski, you know, he led the league in hitting when he was 19, you know. The good ones come fast. Let me just tell you, they come fast. And Dombrowski's never hesitated to be able to push guys, but saying that, I'm not putting that on him, Miller, but when you're around those really good guys, and I've had plenty of them, they come fast. And Al used to tell Dave that all the time. They can do it. Believe me, he can handle it. So Dombrowski saying, yeah, again, I don't think he'll be able to do it, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's playing in the big leagues in the near future. So here's what I take away from Dombrowski's comments. I think they're just really high on Aiden Miller, for sure. I don't know if they necessarily see him coming in 2025, but I think they potentially put this out there because I think they want to put more pressure on Alec Bohm. Maybe not as much Bryson Stott because he's a second baseman and they see Miller as a shortstop and a third baseman.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
I think Turner's locked up there at short. Like, they're not going to do anything with Turner. Like, they're not going to do anything. They gave Turner that money. They still like Turner a lot, even Dombrowski talking about, you know, falsely talking about Turner's defense, you know, in at the end of the year. But I think this is to put more pressure on Alec Bohm. You know, he was in trade talks this past offseason. I believe that. I don't think there's anything false about that. I think they look at Aiden Miller, they like him, and I think they're putting more pressure on Alec Bohm to, you know, to potentially have a big year. And even if he does have a big year, maybe trade him and get a good package. And if Miller is coming along faster than they expect, maybe have him be, I mean, I don't want to say it, potentially like the starting third baseman in 2026. Is that crazy to say? I mean, it might be. But I think there is something to this. I think there is something to them being high on Miller and them putting that pressure on Alec Bohm, who, you know, did have, to a certain extent, a career year last year, did not end well in 2024. But maybe they look ahead to 2025 and they say, hey, Boomer, you know, after all this trade talks, and it can go one of, you know, a couple of ways. Maybe Alec Bohm has a huge year and they're like, we want to keep you, and we, you know, and maybe they end up trading Miller. Maybe they end up trading Miller. It could be a win-win situation for the Phillies, and I think that's how they view this situation. So I think it's good for, I think it's good for all parties. I think it's, you know, they really like Aiden Miller. They're high on him. Obviously, Miller's playing with the expectations now. I mean, yeah, he's playing with the expectations now. And Alec Bohm playing with, you know, probably, you know, this is his biggest year in the bigs. Biggest year in the bigs. So, I mean, not that Bohm hasn't dealt with pressure in the past, because Bohm had a really good year last year. And, I mean, I'm sure he's been hearing the noise, you know, a couple of years ago with the I effing hate this place, and came back and, you know, has produced. So I just think this is a good thing for all parties when it comes to the Phillies. So definitely something to monitor, you know, something to monitor this spring, something to monitor throughout the year, you know, keeping up with how Aiden Miller is playing this year, because I think it's big, and keeping up with how, obviously, how Alec Bohm is playing this year, and seeing if he can thrive after these trade rumors. It's going to be really interesting. Everyone's talking about Bohm, and he's gonna have a big year now. But the Phillies are saying that after this, I don't know. Like, we'll see. Like, I don't think Bohm's gonna automatically, magically, you know, hit 330 and hit 35 home runs. But maybe I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong, because that would be a great problem to have if you're the Phillies, if that does happen. So that is where I'm at on that. You let me know where you are on Dombrowski's recent comments on Aiden Miller and how that affects potentially Alec Bohm and everything else going on. So that is that. Nick Castellanos also making some comments, just like Dave Dombrowski. Nick Castellanos talking about pressure on the Phillies this year. Recently, this was an MLB.com article from one of the best in the biz, Todd Zielecki. Castellanos saying, I do think we have less pressure as a team this year, especially with everything the media said about us when we lost last year, and we didn't really go out and make any crazy changes. So if we lose, you guys look smart, which is dope, right? But then if we win, it's like a happy surprise. So it's kind of a freeing place to play baseball. You know what I mean? And he said this this might have been a week ago, but I need to bring this up now. I don't know if we're going to go deep into October. I don't know if any of that. All I know is we need to stay healthy, prepare in spring training, and get ready for the season. That's so far down the road. Todd asked, does he think this team is good enough? Sure, he said. Sure, Castellanos said. I think we have a good chance. Or I think we have a chance. We have a good team. I don't know. So this is where I need your guys' help. And I need, and I said this in the beginning of the show. You know, teased this in the beginning of the show. I don't know how to feel about Castellanos' comments. Because I think the best thing for Nick Castellanos is to just be himself. Because when he is himself, that's the best player he can be. I think that's to this point. I don't think Nick Castellanos' personality, and he kind of mentioned this in the article, you know, there was a quote in the article, basically like Castellanos' personality isn't to like give the finger and be like, oh, screw you guys. We're going to, you know what I mean? And that was kind of their thing last year. That was like, they were on a revenge tour and Castellanos, the first, you know, there were some bad offense in there from Nick Castellanos last year. Maybe this year, maybe this is a way for Castellanos to play his best baseball. The problem I have is with the rest of the team is that I don't know. I want the rest of the lineup to understand that it needs to be better in the postseason. If this is what helps Nick Castellanos to be the best he can be, I'm fine with that. But I don't know if this mindset is the best, you know, to rub off onto other guys. Like, this is great for Castellanos for him to be himself. But for other guys, for the Trey Turners of the world, for the Kyle Schwarbers come postseason time, for JT, like, I don't know. It's really whatever this offense, whatever kind of mindset they need to have to be the best they can be come October. That's what it needs to be. I just don't know if this Castellanos mindset is the best. I'm not sure, but you let me know out there. Is it the best though? Maybe the team is going to play like this year. If they get in the postseason and they make a run, then great. Like it was in 2022. Is that the best mindset? I don't know though, but like it is unacceptable though. Like I think Trey Turner recently said that it is unacceptable if this team doesn't win a title like in this window. So I'm not sure. Hopefully this is just Nick Castellanos' thing and Nick can just use this to the best of his advantage and the rest of the team isn't looking at this with like no pressure. But I just have mixed thoughts on this and that's why I need your help on this. You can go follow me on Twitter @Rojas_media_. Where are you on these comments? Are there anything to make of this? Are you pissed about this? I know there are some fans that look at this and say it's a happy surprise. Are you kidding me? I need to know your thoughts. Where are you on Nick Castellanos' latest comments? Him saying there's less pressure on them this year. Maybe as Philadelphia fans right now, we don't care because the Eagles just won the Super Bowl. And it's like, okay, maybe there is less pressure from that extent as fans because we're just like, who cares, you know, as much. But I think come, you know, especially come like opening day and later in the season when there's nothing else going on, the Sixers suck this year. The Flyers are still rebuilding to a certain extent and trying to, you know, figure out what they're doing. But I mean, come like, especially like July, come All-Star break time, we're going to care. We're going to care. And there's going to be pressure on this team. So I want to know your thoughts. How should I feel about these comments? Because just way too many mixed emotions on Nick Castellanos' recent comments. Let me know where you are on those. Okay. To end the show, do a little bit of around Major League Baseball. So recently, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and the Blue Jays not agreeing on a contract extension. Vladdy Jr. saying that they were not even, he was interviewed recently, they are not even close to an agreeable number that they both wanted to come to. So the Blue Jays, after seeking out Shohei Ohtani and Juan Soto in recent years in free agency, their 25-year-old superstar first baseman, they cannot come to an agreement. It's pretty incredible if you ask me. This is, I mean, if this was Philadelphia, and you were not able to come to an agreement with somebody like Vladdy Jr. Not a good look. And Toronto, they're passionate sports fans up there, so I know they're not happy. That's a fan favorite for them up there. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. coming off a, you know, a career-ish year, maybe not as good as his one in 2021, but a career, one of his probably his second best year in the majors, where he hit 30 homers, you know, 323 average, 166 OPS plus, a great year, and they're not able to come to an agreement on a contract extension. Not looking good there, but we'll see. Going to hit free agency potentially, and he's going to have to, Blue Jays will have to compete with 29 other teams. That's according to Vladdy Jr. Another very, very intriguing story. Red Sox sign Alex Bregman to a three-year deal, and Bregman potentially looking like initially going to be the second baseman. But Rafael Devers, who is their star third baseman over there in Boston, not willing to potentially move off a position where Alex Bregman just won a gold glove, has been a good third baseman. Rafael Devers has not been a good third baseman. Metrics, errors, all that stuff has not looked good for Rafael Devers. And Devers was recently asked if he was willing to move off of third and potentially DH for the team. And he straight up, and he usually has an interpreter for his answers, he straight up said no. And I think he said it in kind of a laughing manner. He said no. I think that's exactly how he said it. He said he's not willing to move off third base. Interesting debacle and something to keep up with, because if you're the Red Sox, I mean, and if you're Rafi Devers, don't you want what's best for your team? As much as you're the face of that franchise, pretty much. And I know initially the regime there was that was there with Chaim Bloom when they extended him and told him he was probably going to be, you know, going to be the third baseman of the future there. Got to be a big boy. That's just my opinion here. You got to be a big boy, and you got to be willing to move off of third, let Bregman play third, and you play new DH. I mean, you had your chance to prove to the team that you can be a competent third baseman and be a good third baseman even, and did not. Last thing before we get out of here, Mike Trout moving to right field. It is official. Trout moving to off of center to right field. Hopefully Trout can stay healthy, man. And this is why I didn't want him here in Philadelphia, because of his health. Hopefully Trout moving to right field will help him, but it's going to be interesting to monitor here. Mike Trout moving to right field. Hopefully we can get a full season of Trout here this year. It's something we're all hoping for as baseball fans. Okay, that's going to do it for Around Major League Baseball and the entirety of today's episode of Phillies Today. Let me know everything that I talked about here. A lot of good stuff, juicy stuff on Phillies Today for this episode. And I'll be back on Monday. Make sure you stay tuned for everyone else that does a wonderful job on the channel. See ya.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.